Hi, and welcome to the Talk Tea to Me podcast. We're your hosts, Angela
and Lisa,
longtime friends and tea enthusiasts.
Over the years, we've discovered there's much comfort to be had in a cuppa, and we can't think of anything better than to share that comfort with you.
So put the kettle on and join us, won't you?
Hi, tea peeps.
Hey, tea peeps.
Welcome to the Talk Tea to Me podcast, episode 18.
18. We're legal now.
We are legal. We are so legal right now. It's crazy. I can't believe we're just getting so close to 20. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yay. Yes.
Okay. Look at this pretty look.
Ooh, Angela has a gorgeous teacup. We are Zooming, so we're not in person. Where did you get that?
You know what? I bought it at a thrift store. It was just, it was that one that is on Victory Boulevard in Burbank, kind of near the car wash. There's a gas station with a car wash on Victory in Burbank. And there's I think it's the cancer thrift shop.
Oh, there. American Cancer Society.
Yeah. So
I've donated to them many times.
Me too. And that's what I was doing. So, and I was like, I'll just look around. And I found this and it's so beautiful. It's stamp on the bottom is Royal Veil Bone China Made in England. And it's just such a pretty pattern. And I love the shape of the cup.
I like the shape of that too.
Yeah.
Oh, and you got the saucer. What did you spend? What was the?
It was $4.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
can't beat that.
This is such a find. And it was kind of a long line because I believe they were kind of closing out that day. It was one of the last days before they were doing a turnover or moving to another location. I don't know what they were doing, but everything was like extra percentages off.
Wow.
So there was a bit of a line, but it was worth waiting in line for because it's so pretty.
It's really pretty. I love it. You'll have to post a picture of it on our Instagram.
I will for sure.
Very pretty. And what are you drinking in that beautiful teacup?
You know what I'm drinking? We recently went to the Rose Tree Cottage. And it was the little pouch of tea that was in the gift box that we got on our way out.
Okay. I haven't drank it yet. Is it their signature blend?
I think it is. It's the English Village Tea, which is like their signature black blend.
It's always really good too.
Yeah. It's so good. Just with sugar and cream. It really does make the perfect cuppa.
Yum, yum, yum.
And also tying into this episode, I'm eating the other half of the shortbread from the Cat and Fiddle.
Oh,
I took the cat's head off.
I see you decapitated the cat.
So yes, I'm paying homage to our recent tea room experiences. What are you drinking?
Cool. Well, I'm drinking Chocolate Kiss from the Rooibos from Union Jack's.
We love that blend.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really, really good. Perfect.
Yeah. That is definitely one of those treats in a cup because it does have that little extra desserty element to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's chocolatey and a little minty and just, like perfect for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I debated having a cookie and then I thought, no, I don't need one. I've got
with that.
This,
yeah. You don't.
Yeah. I've got this delicious tea. I don't need to do anything with it. I just have to just drink it. So
yummy. Yeah. That's definitely a blend that we highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
We had our giveaway and we gave away a nice full size bag of that. The winner was very pleased with her bag of tea.
Yay.
Heart-shaped soap. We're going to try to do a giveaway again, maybe in the next few weeks. We'll think about what we want to do.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Those are always fun and bring people, you know, sort of more into our circle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Oh, you know, I'm also nibbling on part of a scone I got today. I posted a picture on Instagram. It was a heart-shaped blueberry scone.
Where did you get that?
Glassell Park near Glendale is a place called Habitat Coffee. And you know, because my husband was like, oh, we should get a coffee because we were out doing stuff. And
is it on Eagle Rock Boulevard?
Yes.
I've passed it before. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been in it, but I've passed it.
You would love it because it's really dog friendly. A lot of people bring their dogs in there. And there was a little Lhasa Apso in there today.
Oh.
And a doodle named Jake.
Jake.
His hair was kind of shaggy, so he had like a top knot.
Oh, cute.
He was cute. But anyway, when, you know, once I saw a heart-shaped scone, I was like, yes, I need that. And it's quite
good.
It is good.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's not like, oh my God, like, you know, up there with our favorite scones, but it's very good. And it was a generous size and it was heart-shaped. So, you know, you got to do it.
That's pretty. They still are celebrating Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that.
So should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. And we can talk about other things that pop into our
brain. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sort of like, bleh. Okay, let's get into it.
It's a Monday holiday here. And we're a little bit like, what day is it?
I am really thrown off. It's President's Day here in the United States. I feel all day yesterday, I thought it was Saturday.
Same.
All day today, I think it's Sunday. It's really Monday. Mm-hmm. So I am really, really thrown off right now.
Me too. I just cannot get a grip on what day it is at all. I guess tomorrow, once we're back into our routines, it'll feel a little bit more normal. All right. So let's talk about the Rose Tree Cottage experience, which was a Valentine's Day / 30th friendship anniversary celebration for the two of us.
Right. Yeah. So we decided, because, you know, it's sort of the first place that we ever went to tea together.
Mm-hmm.
At their old location, which was like a little cottage. I mean, it was the quintessential little picturesque cottage, really just precious and pink with little fairy lights and flowers and chintzy patterns. And it was the cutest thing. And so we had gone there, oh my gosh, I don't even know how many years ago. It's been a long, long time that we went there. Yeah. And we went a couple of times to that location, and then they switched locations.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been at the new location, which is like a big two-story house
mm-hmm.
in the same city in Pasadena, California, but just a ways away and just different vibe, you know,
very different,
different, very busy street, actually mm-hmm. hard to find parking sometimes, you know, it's sort of been like our, I don't know, like a magical place for us and mm-hmm. just a place that, you know, it's always been more upscale and higher priced and we don't go that often,
mm-hmm.
but we were like, let's do it because we love it. We know what we're going to get and we know what to expect. And it was a special occasion.
And I really was hoping that they had opened the inside up again for dining, but we were seated outside. This was maybe the third time to sit outside. I can't remember how many times we've sat outside at that location.
I've sat out there a few times. And I mean, okay. I understand that, you know, we're COVID hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
But at this point, you know, it's 2023, the middle of 2023, or not the middle, I'm sorry, the second Almost. Month of 2023.
Right. It's the we're middle getting of the there.
School year. Yeah. That's why I'm a little confused. I have two different kinds of years that I go by.
Right.
It's, yeah, you know, and it's like a lot of people are vaccinated. I think it's time to open up the indoor seating.
I think they did not. Yeah.
So
I would love to have the option to do either or.
Oh, yeah, because I would have sat inside in a heartbeat. I would not have chosen to sit outside.
Yeah. At Rose Tree, you can make reservations about 1 week in advance and they have timed seatings. So basically, is it two seatings a mm-hmm. day?
A 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock.
Okay. So we took the earlier one and we were, you know, we had a nice little table outside. I mean, I'm happy with where we got to sit. We kind of got to look at everything that was going on. And it was just a set menu, right? I don't think we had any options whatsoever.
And no options. No, it right. was set, which I think it usually is.
Okay. So, and we had already told them that we were a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And then I think the first thing when we sat down at the table, right, were the glasses of the, was it elderflower sparkling drink?
It was either elderflower or elderberry.
One of them.
Elderberry. I think it was elderberry.
Okay. So it was.
I can't remember.
It was elder something.
It was good.
It was good. So we had that in a little glass. I think there was a bowl of strawberries.
There was a bowl of strawberries.
And then crisps. Uh-huh. Little potato chips on a plate with grapes, right?
With grapes, right.
Now, one thing that I really wish that we could be doing there is taking photos for you guys to see, but they do not allow photography.
At all.
At all. Yeah. Zilch. So it was weird. I mean, we just kind of sat down and we had those things on the table. And then what was the next thing they brought? First of all, we thought it was very strange that there were potato chips with grapes on a plate. That was new.
That never, ever, ever experienced that before. But then you said that you recently saw it. Was it a tea room in England?
It was one of the ones that we're following on Instagram, and on their plate I noticed crisps with the tea service. So it was within the week I saw that photo, and I'd never seen that before.
Never. I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Right.
I would have preferred it at the end, though.
I think it was too early.
I needed, mm-hmm. you know, every time. There's just never enough savory stuff, especially no. towards the end of tea. And I want to go eat something salty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just like sick from the sugar every time. And yeah. which is, you know, my own fault, partly because I add sugar to my tea. But that would have been nice to have at the end, just to have a little.
I think so. Salt. Yeah, I feel like it should have been on the back end of the service. So mm-hmm. anyway, that was just kind of strange. We only had these very small plates, right?
It was basically a saucer, wasn't it?
Like the size of a saucer. I don't even. Yeah. And no flatware.
No flatware at all.
No flatware. And then there were no three-tiered trays arriving at our table. They were actually serving us on serving platters that they were taking around to every table. And then they would use tongs to put it on the plate, right?
And I've never, ever, ever had that happen.
No.
Ever, ever. And I mean, I don't know, part of the, I think the fun of going to tea is that beautiful three-tier tray.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That experience of seeing it, and they've always had them before when we've gone. This is the only time that they have not done that.
Yeah, right.
It was like, I was just kind of sitting there going, well, when are they going to bring the tray out?
Yeah, I kept thinking, all right, well, this is an extra special Valentine thing, and the tiered tray thing will come out later, but it never appeared. So the first platter had the samosas, was that right? Or not samosas, Yorkshires.
Yeah, there were two different Yorkshire puddings that we had. I think there was another option that had meat in it. Okay. As well, that we didn't have, but so we had and they were very good.
They were really good.
Very tasty, especially the cheese and tomato.
Oh, that was delicious. I thought it was cheese and tomato. I was thinking of samosa. It was kind of like the filling of one.
It was like a samosa filling, but in a Yorkshire pudding.
Okay.
Which was really, really good, but I just thought that the cheese and tomato was really tastier.
I could have eaten like three of those.
And I could have.
They were like freshly baked for sure. I mean, they came out warm. They were really savory and yummy.
But eating it with our hands felt very strange. I mean, we're just going to be super honest and frank with our listeners, because there's no reason to sugarcoat any of it.
Right.
The price for this tea was $85.
Which is very high end.
That's high. That's a high price.
Yeah.
They could have sprung for some forks and queen plates. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I am so shocked that we didn't get to eat with forks, you know?
The cheese and tomato Yorkshire pudding was messy too. I remember I had it on my fingers because it was hot and the cheese was a little melty and it was just odd.
It was odd.
Because these proprietors pride themselves on etiquette and have taught Meghan Markle etiquette when she was engaged to Prince Harry. So you just expect more. And we've seen more. That's the thing too.
They set such a high standard in the past that's why we always have such, you know, high expectations for our experience there. And you know, you're not allowed to take pictures because they claim that, you know, there are celebrities and dignitaries and whoever there that's, you know, very VIP. They don't want to disturb anyone.
But there were none that day.
No.
Nor have there ever been when I've been there.
No.
I mean, we've seen pictures of people autographed in their lounge, right. or you know, I guess that would be their lounge. Angela Lansbury, remember Adamant,
and
that
of course
was the thing that we flipped out about.
Megan, yes,
yeah, and Megan. But and I'm sure there's others that we aren't mentioning or that we're not remembering off the tops of our heads. But never in the probably, you know, 10 to 12 times I've ever had tea there.
Yeah.
Have I ever seen a celebrity or anybody of notable mention ever?
Yeah.
So I don't understand what, because it's such a beautifully decorated place on the inside. The interior is really just what you want in a beautiful English tea room. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they want that out there?
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange that policy is still in place after all this time.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. Let's see. Then the next thing, did we get champagne at that point? They started pouring champagne then?
I think it was a little later after the sandwiches. We did get it, but I think it came a little later. And what they did with that was they mixed it in with our elderberry or elderflower, whichever elder it was, with our juice in our cups, which wasn't bad.
But we didn't get a fresh glass for the champagne.
No fresh glass.
That's odd too. I guess I forgot mm-hmm. about that. Okay. That was a little strange also.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it was endless champagne, right? It was kind of unlimited if you wanted to keep. But then again, probably. I was driving. So it's like, you know, after a glass and a half, that was enough for me. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah. And I just had the one glass that they poured for me. And they were tiny too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was not a big, like, huge glass. It was very, very dainty and small and petite. And mm-hmm. yeah, I just had the one. I didn't even get a refill on that.
Okay. So then did the sandwiches start arriving around that time then?
Yes. And that's when, that's when things just went.
Yeah.
I thought.
Tell us about what the sandwich consisted of.
Okay. So it was like a large basket, I think, that they brought them out with.
Oh yeah, that sounds right.
And they had cheese and cucumber, and then they had cucumber and salmon. Was that it? Salmon?
Okay. So it was the, okay. Yeah, it was the exact same thing, with just like the thinnest piece of smoked salmon on there. Yes, because I did have the smoked salmon one. That I was just so shocked that there was only two different sandwiches, basically the same thing, like I said, with one sliver of smoked salmon on there, and the most overwhelming vinegar taste. I can't even describe it. It was like it was soaked in vinegar, the sandwiches.
Was the salmon one like that as well?
Yes.
Okay. Because I, you know, obviously I didn't have that one.
Yeah.
And then I just remember eating, because they gave me two of the cheese and cucumber. And the first one I was like, the bread is a little bit wet. Why is the bread wet? That mm-hmm. was the first thing that I thought. Then when I put it in my mouth, I was like, what is this flavor that I'm tasting? And I love vinegar, and I didn't even piece it in my mind. Like, cause it didn't dawn on me that it would be vinegar. Like, why would they have that?
Never had that.
Never had it before.
Mm-mm.
And yeah. And I just thought the sandwich is wet. And that bothered me because, I don't know, wet bread, it just is not
appealing. Wasn't appealing.
Mm-mm. And then, you know, you ate the first sandwich was with the salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you started eating your second sandwich and you said something, I was like, it's not in my head. Oh, my God. And mm-mm. you couldn't even eat. You couldn't even finish.
Mm-mm. And that was it. No other sandwiches.
I've never in my life. Okay, we had two tiny triangles of a sandwich for $85.
Tiny.
I mean, there was no egg salad. There was no, you know, there was just no other sandwich. I don't at all understand that at all. I know there were savories, but $85.
Yeah.
Also.
Right.
You should be getting more. And I have been there for Valentine's Day before.
I think if I haven't been with you, I'm sure I've been in the past, and I never left feeling like, oh, that was it. Like this time was just, I mean, we're still talking about it, not even just on this recording, but we were, you know, talking about it with friends, and I was telling my husband, and even different people. Like, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Cause I feel a little cheated and I mm-hmm. feel like, wow, you know, it was sort of like, you know, you went to the rent a car and you asked for a Mercedes and then they gave you, you know, like a little,
I know, like the subcompact.
Yeah. Like, what is this? This isn't my luxury vehicle. This isn't my luxury tea. You know, that's how it felt.
Yeah.
It really was a letdown. And I hate saying that, but it, to be honest, it was. So yeah. What else do we have? Let's go back to what we ate.
Okay. So we've covered, we had the strawberries in the bowl, the crisps with the mm-hmm. grapes, the Yorkshires and the tiny sandwiches.
And next was the scone.
Next was the scone.
Which was superb.
Very delicious. One of our favorite scones ever. And they were heart-shaped.
Mm-hmm. I think they do have the best scone.
It's so good.
And it was still the best. I mean, it was that really, didn't really change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With the
cream. And they bake them there daily. Oh, yeah. And they make their own clotted cream, correct? Mm-hmm. And their own preserves.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
All of those things were amazing. So mm-hmm. if we were just reviewing that and the tea, the actual tea in our cups, you know, 5 stars for that. But
absolutely. Yeah.
That was the highlight, really, was the actual tea. They do keep refilling the tea, which I love. Like, they keep coming around. Mm-hmm. They have fresh tea in the pot. They have the cream on the table and the sugar. I mean, and mm-mm. that is no.
The
what?
Cream's not on the table. They bring it.
Well, it was on the table. It had a little doily. It was. Yeah.
You're right. But they do pour it for you. They don't make you pour your own milk. That's true. Yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
I really do like that. And I think that they have a lovely, it's just sort of a production, right? How they pour their tea with the cream and everything. It's really lovely.
Mm-hmm. And they pour simultaneously too, yes. Which like, instead of I'll pour my milk first and then pour my tea, I never double pour at the same time. I mean, at the exact same time, they're pouring in the right measurement. And that's impressive. Because it would go all over the place if I tried to do that.
It's like a magic trick. I don't understand mm-hmm. how they do it. But I love that part of it. It's kind of like a showstopper, you know, just to watch mm-hmm. them do it. It's very cool. So thumbs up for that part of it. We love the scone. Okay, we talked about that. Then I thought maybe that we could have another scone. That didn't happen.
I thought maybe there was going to be another sandwich or something in the middle of that. Nope. It was straight to Petit Fours.
Straight to Petit Fours and a bite of sticky toffee pudding.
Oh, yes. Which was outstanding, but
yes,
a bite.
Delicious sticky toffee pudding there, but it was mm-hmm. literally one bite in a mm-hmm. little cup. So we had that lemon bar bite.
The lemon bar was really good also.
Really good.
But tiny again, which is okay. I mean, but if you've already had a bunch of savory stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
If you've had like $85 worth of food, yeah.
Right.
this was like, whoa, what? These are bite-sized.
Literal bite-sized.
Literally, yes. Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm.
And I had shortbread bite on here as well.
Mm-hmm. We did have shortbread. And remember when the proprietor came out, he said, we make our own shortbread here and it's the best shortbread in the world. And we started eating it. We're like, nope, Walker's is better.
Yeah. No, I know.
Mean, no disrespect, but right. Walker's is better. It's butterier. I can't say the word.
Butterier. More butterier.
Mm-hmm. It's more buttery. Thank you. It's more buttery.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine, but it was just passable. Like it nothing stood out about the shortbread. And again, mm-hmm. it was tiny. There were two Petit Fours, I think, right?
There was a chocolate and a vanilla.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. I don't like those in particular. They're not my favorite thing.
Do not like them. I never eat them.
And they were very sweet and very marzipan-y. So it was kind of lost on me. They were cute, but it's not something I care to eat really.
No. I mean, I never understood who likes those because I don't really think I know anybody who does.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, no, they're, And a lot of places don't even have them anymore, it seems like. Maybe because people don't really like them very much. They're cute. They're adorable, but
it's just an old-fashioned, you know, sweet. I don't think that, I mean, they're just not in anybody's rotation anymore. You know, it's not something, I don't know anyone that would order those on their own without it, you know, already just being on it, some sort of tea service, but.
No, I'd have like a macaron or something like that. Yes. That would be good.
Yes.
And I think we have seen that a lot.
I think that's really come into fashion more and more lately, is a macaron. But yeah, it was just too much. I don't know. I guess overall, we were just disappointed and it was a bummer.
Yeah. And yeah, I still have a bad taste in my mouth from it. And we had a friend who was talking about, you know, she had texted us last week saying, hey, do you girls want to go to lunch on Sunday or next Saturday? Maybe you want to go to Rose Tree. And we were like, nope.
Nope. We'll tell you later. We can't go there again.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah, no, let's not go there. We'll go someplace else.
So, you know, on our way out, I mean, we had, we love to take pictures in the front. So we were able to do that. And actually, it was just like, we were lingering out there for probably still digesting what had just taken place. Like, what happened? So we took some pictures out front, and there were quite a few people there for different occasions, you know, bridal showers and birthdays and stuff too. But then we saw the proprietors, and they had forgotten to give us these little boxes to go with tea bags in them. It was like at the very end. So, you know,
they were chasing people down, trying to kind of chase them down the street, but they had all already left.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, it just seemed like it was haphazardly put together not well executed. And the thing, it seemed amateur. And these are people who have been in this business for like 50 plus years.
Such a long
time. So it was a bizarro experience. If it had been someplace else that was new or something, I could see we would be like, oh, well, you know, let's come back in a few years once they get their bearings. But I just don't understand how something could go from being the best to what this was.
Yeah. It I lost
feel guilty its... saying it.
I know. I do too. I feel really, it actually pains me to say it because we always had such great experiences there, but it lost its luster. Let's hope they can get back on track or someone can help them get back on track. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll check in with them in another year if they're still around. And
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, definitely I don't ever want to go and sit outside again.
No. Yeah. Let's hope they open that room up again because it is pretty charming in that room, especially those seats by the window. It's so cute.
It's beautiful. It's worth it just to go just have a cup of tea.
Yes.
And that's it. And a scone, and not even have to do the whole service if they would let you do that. Just go in there and sit in that beautiful room by the window. Like
I would love
it. It really is enchanting, but they're denying everybody that experience. You know?
Yeah.
If it had been indoors, like I said a couple times, if it had been an indoor tea with some live music or something, I could see them justifying the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not for what we got.
Okay. So we went to another tea a couple of days ago for a Galentine's with a couple of our best girlfriends. And also one of them was, just right on the front end of her birthday celebration.
Her birthday's today.
Her birthday's today. Happy birthday, Kier.
Happy birthday.
Be happy birthday. So we went to the Cat and Fiddle, which is another British establishment in Hollywood.
It's a pub. It's like a proper
pub. Yeah. And this place has been around for decades. However, this is a newer location. Maybe they moved there within the last couple of years. This is the first time I'd been there. What about you? Had you been there?
Not to this location. Only they had a location on Sunset Boulevard for years where you could actually, I think, see the Hollywood sign from the front of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right over there. Mm-hmm. And now it's down on Highland near 3rd Street.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like Hancock Park, actually. It's like it's right on the border of Hollywood and Hancock Park.
Yeah. Which, you know, I know it's like, it sounds so glamorous. It's Hollywood. Like we were in Hollywood having tea, but you know, it's
Hollywood's not glamorous.
It's not
guys.
Glamorous, guys.
It is not. This is not 1950. Hollywood hasn't been glamorous for a long time.
It sounds so exciting and dazzling, but it's just like, okay, where do we park that's close that we feel like we'll be safe walking to the pub?
We're not going to get carjacked or, you know, because I mean, I know people that have been robbed and had their cars broken into, held up at gunpoint. Yeah. And, you know, that's sort of, and I used to go clubbing in that area too.
Oh, the things we used to do in Hollywood late at night without any care in the world. Like it's crazy to think about.
Yeah. Cause really, and now I think it's worse, but it was shady back then too. You know,
it was shady.
It's always been a little
questionable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And one of our friends, Leslie, that was with us, she went to Hollywood High, which is such a trip because we passed by it and she's like, I went there.
Which really is cool because
yes,
I know one other person who went there.
That is so cool.
You don't hear about people really going there very often. You know, it's there and you know it's there, but you just don't really come across people that went very much.
Right.
And she did go.
Yeah. I think that's such a trip. And her husband went there at different times. Like that's also a trip.
And she had good things to say about it at the time too. She said it was very diverse and, you know, lots of languages going on and it was fun. And there was, you know, they have these steps in the front of the school. 39, is that what she said?
I think so. Yeah.
Famous 39 or something. Mm-hmm. And people skateboard up and down those steps and on the ramp, not the ramp, but the railing in the middle.
Railing.
And
yes.
We did see people doing that as we drove by. So
yeah,
it's cool.
So then we got into the Cat and Fiddle and we actually elected to sit outside. There's a nice covered patio with some plants and it feels kind of light and airy out there. I mean, the pub is darker, very pubby, you know, with booths and all kinds of cool things on the walls and darker greens and stuff. But I don't know, I guess we just felt like sitting outside, the lighter, airier vibe.
And there were heaters if it were to get cold out there. We could have had a heater on, but it was pleasant. It was nice.
Yes. And that was a set menu. I believe it's on the, I don't know if they serve it every day. It might just be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they do tea. And we got the vegetarians and they got, Leslie and Kier got the regular set tea. We all got our own pot of tea and we could get PG Tips, Earl Grey, chamomile, or peppermint.
Yeah.
So three of us got PG Tips, right?
Yeah. Not a huge selection, but it is what it is. It's a pub. It's not
it's a
tea house.
Yeah.
And
yep.
That was good for what they had. I mean, you know, I'm happy with PG Tips.
Me too.
So, I mean, I'll do that any day.
Yeah, that was fine. And we all had our own pot and, you know, sugar and cream and everything. I think everything came out at once, right? We shared the three tier and on our side with the vegetarian and they had the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The non-vegetarian,
the meat eaters side.
The carnivorous side.
Ones. So their savory was a hot sausage roll.
Mm-hmm.
That looked pretty good.
I think they said that
there were
two
different
each and they were different.
Yeah.
One had a kick. Is that what they said?
Yes.
One had a little bit of a kick, a little bit of spice to it.
And they seemed like they really enjoyed that. And it looked pretty generous, I thought.
Well, Kirsten's really into bangers and mash too. So she just likes those. She likes the sausage.
Sausage. Okay.
She liked it.
We had like not one bite, but maybe two bite-sized samosas. For our savory, right?
Yeah.
Those were good.
Yeah, they were. And the second one, I don't know if they were different or not, but we both said that the second one that we ate, which looked identical to the first one, was spicy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So,
it was like, ooh, my mouth. But I mean, very tasty.
I don't know. Maybe like the sausages. I mean, one was spicy and one was more mild. I don't, the second one had a kick in it. I was like, wow, I need a sip of water. That was pretty spicy. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. But it was good. I mean, it was very tasty, authentic tasting samosa.
And I enjoyed our sandwiches. We had cheese and pickle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Branston pickle.
Branston pickle.
Mm-hmm.
The curried egg salad.
Which was real good.
Oh
And
boy.
yeah, I even told our waitress, who was a doll. I really liked her.
So cute.
I even told her, like, I'm a tough customer when it comes to egg salad because yeah. I make such a good one.
Yeah.
But that was really good. It was real tasty. I could have had like 10 of those.
Me too. I think that was one of the better ones we've had since we've been recording.
Yeah, absolutely. That was that curry flavor did it. It was really good.
I could have had a couple more of those. And it's the other one, it said on the menu, it was minted cucumber and mascarpone cheese. It's funny.
And it was good.
It was, I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
I mean, it was good. It wasn't like blow your socks off, because it was what it was.
Okay.
You know,
I don't remember that I didn't like it. I just kind of couldn't remember the flavor of it or something.
I've never had a cream cheese and or a cucumber sandwich where I've been like, whoa. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the ones I made at home, maybe because I've put like gobs of cream cheese on there.
Yes. Yep.
And so, and then, you know, either dill or mint, and sort of like really decked it out.
Yeah.
But I've never, it's not something where I eat it and I'm like, ooh, that is just scrumptious, you know?
It is
what it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's good.
It's fine.
Good, but it's like,
there's no punch to it.
There's no punch ever. Yeah. I don't think. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good, but it was what it was.
It was good. I remember on the samosas, I was thinking about that and the egg salad were my favorite things.
Definitely.
The scone. This is interesting. I really like the scone with the clotted cream and house-made cinnamon orange marmalade. That was some authentic marmalade.
What I loved about it were those huge chunks of orange that were in there.
It was really yummy.
You know, I have to admit, though, I am just not an orange marmalade or a lemon curd person.
Not lemon curd either.
Mm-mm,
prefer preserves.
Oh, yeah.
Any like berries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any kind of jam, please give me that over. Usually, and I don't know what it is. I feel like marmalade is just too sweet.
To me, that one was so bitter. That had a real bittery orange.
Did you think?
Bite to it. That's what I tasted.
Oh, I thought it was really super sweet. Interesting how we had the same exact thing, and then you found it to be one way and I found it to be the opposite. But
that's funny. It was definitely
bad,
homemade.
When I finished it, I just felt kind of like, ooh, that was too much.
It was a
too
lot.
Much of that.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't bad for somebody that doesn't like marmalade very much. I ate it. I didn't not eat it. You know, I ate it and it was all right, but the scone was good. I wish I had put less marmalade, or maybe not put marmalade on it.
At the very end, I took some of the fresh berries and put them on my scone.
That would have been much better. I should have done
that.
Yeah,
we had a cup of little fresh berries, and I think I plopped like 2 or 3 blueberries on there, and that was tasty. So as we mentioned, we had cat-shaped shortbread cookies.
They were cute.
Did you taste yours? It's pretty good.
No, I didn't eat it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, it's not very buttery, but it is nice with the tea.
That's the thing. Shortbread is basically just a butter cookie.
Yeah.
How do you not have a buttery shortbread?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't know what happens that gets lost in the mix where it just doesn't ooze that buttery goodness. But a lot of times we'll have a house-made shortbread and it just doesn't have that flavor element to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's like, it's a cookie. It's good. Yeah. But
it's fine.
But it's not shortbread. Even if it is, it's not.
And when you can't taste the butter, and it's not a particularly sweet cookie anyway, it's like there's really no flavor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway. I didn't try the little cat.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just taking
it.
And
fine.
I also,
like I said, it's fine.
I also didn't try that little Tottenham sponge cake. Is that what it was? Tottenham
Thank
sponge?
Goodness, you didn't. To me, that was the worst part of it. It's not that it had no flavor. It had a very peculiar flavor. I did not like any element of that. I didn't like the cake, the icing, none of it. I don't know if it was a whipped cream thing. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Tottenham cake, thumbs down.
And I was just like, I've already had enough sugar. I don't need dessert. So
Thank goodness.
I just skipped it altogether.
But like Leslie she ate most of hers and she enjoyed it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just these different taste buds, subjective. I guess. Yeah.
But it looked delicious. Like, I was like, that looks so good with that pink whipped cream frosting and some berries on top. And it's a lovely looking vanilla-y cake. It was inedible to me.
So if you got like a side of those wonderful cucumber soggy sandwiches and that cake, you would just toss the table over, huh?
I would have thrown the whole table upside down. Said, you know, I think we should do something else with our podcast. I give up. So there we have it. I mean, that was a nice little thing to try, though. We wanted to try Cat and Fiddle. We all had a pleasant time, and it was nice to sit mm-hmm. outside. Yeah,
it was very cute. I thought very cute. Like mm-hmm. a nice atmosphere. Again, our server, I didn't get her name, but she reminded us of Mickey from the band Lush.
Totally. The minute you said it, I was like, yes, she does.
Yeah. As soon as I saw her, I'm like, oh my God, it's Mickey. Mm-hmm. And she was really cute and really attentive and, mm-hmm. you know, went out of her way. And then the lady who seated us, I don't know if she was a hostess or if she was the manager or the owner, but she came around several times to make mm-hmm. sure everything was okay. And they right. were constantly replenishing the hot water, bringing us sugar or whatever we needed. So yeah, the service was excellent. Was good.
We had, mm-hmm. and there was another lady with long hair. She kept coming around. So there were like three women who rotated plus a bus boy. So I mean, you know, I really appreciated the service because again, it's mm-hmm. just casual pub, you know, but they were right on it. They were constantly checking in to see if we were okay.
Yeah.
That was nice. And it was affordable. Lisa, affordable.
Yeah, it was.
$38.
We got more. That's what the Rose Tree should have charged.
I know.
If they had, I wouldn't be as bitter about it.
Because, I mean, it was almost the same amount of food, really. I mean, yeah. we did have champagne at Rose Tree, but...
Let's face it. I don't think between all the people that were there, that whole bottle was drank.
And also, I noticed at Cat and Fiddle, you could have added champagne or whatever the other mm-hmm. thing was for another $12. It still would have only been $50.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You know, I'm just not big on having any alcoholic beverage with my tea. Mm-mm. It just doesn't. I know some people love it. I don't feel like I need it. You know, it's just not.
It's not something
that I.
Yeah. We wouldn't go out of our way to do that. Unless it was like a really super, you know, fancy or special occasion. I remember when we had that big birthday tea at the Pacific Dining Car.
Mm-hmm. We did have downtown. A drink there.
Sherry.
It was sherry. Uh-huh. I gave it to your mom. I remember I didn't drink it.
And I remember thinking that, because I think that was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And I thought, this is interesting. And I might have had a couple of sips. But I remember some of the ladies at the table were like, this is so special.
Mm-hmm. Your mom got a huge kick out of that.
I know. Yeah.
She was really delighted by that. And I mean, I remember she was just like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need it. Here, have mine.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
I wish I could remember that tea. I know it was fun. Yeah. We all had a great time. It was a nice, big, lively party because we had so many people there, but
there were a lot of people.
I can't mm-hmm. remember what was actually on our plates.
Yeah. It was so long ago though, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we had one of my birthday parties at Chato and there were a ton of people?
Mm-hmm. I just found one of those pictures. We had a huge group there. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, a lot of
that was good. That was mm-hmm. really good. Yeah, there had to have been like 12.
I think so.
13 people, something. It was a lot. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I know. We've had some really awesome tea parties and we'll continue mm-hmm. to do so in the future.
Yes.
I wanted to, I'll post a picture of these adorable magnetic bookmarkers that page markers that Lisa got for me. They're so cute. Even the servers at Rose Tree was like, those are so cute.
They are. I love them.
Oliver Smith and Company. These are the cutest, the three-piece teacups. How cute are these? I mean, this is just the perfect little marker for tea lovers. So I will definitely post a picture of that.
For sure. And then also, you know, for those of you that love to read, aren't magnetic bookmarks the best?
The best, oh, best invention. Yeah.
Love that so yeah. much. All it needs is a magnifying glass and a light attached to it. And it would be like, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to create
that. I was going to say, that might be something we endeavor to do in the future. Lisa's little book reading gift pack.
My goodness. Because, you know, well, like, I can't read without glasses on. And if, unless I have like a lot of light and large print.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having a magnifying glass and a little light, a book light on there would just make it primo.
That's something to think about. Gift ideas. Speaking of books, this is what I'm reading next.
I have to read it.
Yes. My sister gave it to me and it came out in.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Nobody knows what we're gushing over. Okay. Hold on.
So this is a book about the story behind Depeche Mode's classic album Violator. And it's called Halo,
which is like the best song.
We love that song.
From Enjoy the Silence. Those are the best songs on that album.
So, yeah. Oh my God. And that album, by the way, is just, it's so classic. I mean, every second of that album is perfect.
Except for Policy of Truth.
Oh, I love that song. No, I love every song on that album. The minute I first heard it, I love everything on that. I listened to a podcast actually about, they were interviewing the two writers who are, one is Scottish and one is English, who wrote this book. And they basically interviewed everybody except for the members of the band about the making of this album and how, you know, it started with these very stripped down demos and just became this masterpiece. So I can't wait to dive in because we are on the heels of Depeche Mode starting their tour.
Oh my God.
The new singles out. It's all happening. And we are devotees.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't talk about Depeche Mode that much.
No, we haven't.
We've mentioned Duran Duran a million times. We're bigger Depeche Mode fans.
Yeah.
Than Depeche we are Duran Duran.
The top of the heap for us.
Yeah.
So
yeah, really. I mean,
this is a big deal. This tour and the album and all, so we're like beyond excited right now. So in order to get me all hyped up and prepped, I'm going to start reading that book. So I'll let you borrow it. Of course.
Can I borrow it after? Okay, cool.
Yes, of course. So we'll be reporting on all our Depeche Mode adventures as they come.
Oh my gosh. Tea with Depeche. Oh, that would be.
You know, we were talking about our ultimate dream guests, and honestly, if I had to pick one person, it would be Alan Wilder from Depeche Mode. He'd be my number one all-time guest.
And remember, you were like, who would you pick? And I was like, if I did pick Martin Gore, I wouldn't be able to talk or function.
I know.
I would just...
You'd be like, can you ask him some questions?
It's like, you know, I've met a million... Yeah. Rock stars, yeah. With you usually. The one time he was standing right there next to us, remember? And you were like, go talk to him. And I was like, nope.
Yep.
Can't do it. I can't. I don't know what it is. You've told me how nice he is.
So nice. But he's so humble and so down to earth and so like, there's no like rock star aura around him. Like he'll just talk to you.
And I'm afraid that I would cry.
Well.
And I don't want to freak him out. Oh. And I'm not like a huge, you know, like I don't usually cry when I meet people, but right. I'm afraid that I would cry because this man has just touched me so deeply with his music.
Yeah.
That it's like, how do you not, you know what I mean? Like, how do you not tell this person, like, I feel like you've been inside of my brain and my heart when you're writing your songs.
Yeah.
I appreciate you so much. It just, it's emotional.
I know. I mean, they helped like a generation or two just kind of cope with everything, mm-hmm. you know, and the way he articulates things in his songs, it just touches a part of you and it doesn't leave you. Like they're the soundtrack
melodies.
For our lives, you know,
yeah. It's just,
especially in Southern California. I mean, you loved Depeche Mode. If you were of a certain age, that, mm-hmm. that was just part of everything going on.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, definitely. And yeah, so I think I would really just, I don't know how
have
I
have a moment.
Yeah, no, it just wouldn't probably be a good person to have on a podcast to be interviewed by me. I would need, because I would still, so yeah, I'm trying to think of like, because we did talk about it.
Yeah.
And then who, you were saying a couple other people that you.
Yes.
Your other.
I love Samantha Brown. And I love both of us, Susan Branch. So those were my other, I mean, there's tons of people I would love to interview, but I would love to have those ladies on.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's so hard for me because it's like, you know, okay, Jason Bateman, are you listening? Can you be on?
Do you like tea?
He does. Yes. Remember right. I looked it up?
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
I have had like a lifelong almost obsession with that guy.
Yeah.
And I would really love, but then again, I'd be gawking at him. I'd just be like, you're so hot. Oh my God. So like somebody that I actually want to like have a conversation with and not just like stare at and drool over, probably J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Or Paula, you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Paula Braxton.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It would be one of my authors that I really, really like. So we all know who J.K. Rowling is, and please, you know, don't be clouded by judgment. She is one of the most brilliant writers that ever walked the earth. So, you know, what you think about her as a person, I don't care.
Well, and the influence of her, I mean, it's still ongoing. I mean, look, we've mentioned before, we are a stone's throw from Universal. So I do get to go there often, Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm there, there are hordes of people dressed up, like all the characters from Harry Potter.
Yep.
They're just huge lifelong fans, all ages. So yeah, she's a brilliant writer and influenced generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I do really, and she's overcome such adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really love her, which, you know what, just made me think of another person that I wouldn't mind ever sitting down talking to. Cause I think, and I might actually lose it a little bit, is Oprah.
Oh God. Are you kidding? That would be a dream.
You she talk about somebody, she does love tea, and somebody who's overcome adversity.
Yes.
I mean, that woman, I can't even, like, she's mind blowing to me. Really. Yeah. She is mind blowing. She's done it all from nothing.
Yeah.
Just like JK, you know what I mean? Like she had nothing.
Yeah.
And look at what she built. And so like those women, I really, really admire because they really could have been victims and instead they just rose up and showed, you know, how strong women can be. And
very resilient for sure.
Very resilient. Yeah. And I love that. And then Paula Braxton, you know, personally, I do follow her and I'm friends with her on Facebook. She doesn't share much about like any traumas in her life. So I don't know that she came from any weird background like that, but I just really love her books, you know, and she lives in Wales in the country and has all these animals. And she just seems like she would just be a kick, you know? She wrote The Witch's Daughter and The Midnight Witch and a bunch of books that are witch themed, that are centered around witches. And yeah, love her.
Yeah, I think she would be a very enchanting guest.
Yeah, she seems super cool.
I would love to visit her in person.
Well, can we interview you? We will come to your house, Paula Braxton.
We'll come to you. We'll bring our gear and we'll come right to your door. Just put on a pot of tea and we'll be fine.
Yes.
Oh, anyway, are you reading anything or you're probably too busy with work?
Oh,
my
gosh.
Are you reading for your job?
Yeah, I'm still, so I did start The Diary of a Young Girl and I'm finishing that up today. And then I am going to read because one of my teacher assistants, she brought me, it's a book called Night. And it's a short novel. And it's by, I can't think of his name, Eli Weiss or something like that. And he was a Holocaust survivor.
Yes. I know of that book. Yes.
Okay. Because I had used one of his quotes in class one day and she came up to me and she said, I have his book. I'll bring it to you. And so she lent it to me, but I've just been too busy to start reading it. So, that's next. Yeah. And then I think maybe I need a break from, because I will be rereading The Diary of a Young Girl with my class and The Devil's Arithmetic with my class. So I think I'm going to just
Palate cleanser after that.
I think I need to step away from the Holocaust a little bit personally because I'm immersed in it right now. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's very heavy.
It's so interesting and I love it, but
I know
I think I need a little something else.
Because it kind of, it worms its way in, right? And then you just kind of it's heavy. So you really think about it a lot.
And it's heartbreaking. Yeah,
it is. It's awful. It's so terrible. So maybe on the other side of this semester or whatever, we'll go to the Holocaust Museum. And
oh, yeah, I definitely want to go to it. Yeah. I think that would be awesome. I mean, not that I don't want to go to it. I do. I just think I don't want to read another Holocaust book just yet after these two.
Yeah, you'll have to switch gears there with your next reading choice.
Yeah.
All right, kids, our tea peeps, our lovely audience. I think we'll wrap it up here. Please find us on all of our social media platforms. We spend the most time on Instagram at Talk Tea to Me Podcast. Find us on your favorite listening platform. We're on all of them. Podbean.
Mm-hmm. Amazon.
Google.
Are we?
Yeah, my sister said we are.
Oh, how cool. Okay. Apple, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to listen to for some reason. I just feel like Spotify, like the it's easily accessible.
Yeah. I think everything. That a lot of people have that in common with you. It looks like we get a lot of traffic there and Apple. So, and Podbean, but I think Spotify might be at the head of the pack there. So.
Oh, okay. Well, Podbean was what we started out on.
Yes.
So I do listen on that.
That's our home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, listeners, we hope you're all enjoying a little cup of tea with us, and we will talk to you next time.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta for now.